Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone out there. Before I start the announcements here, welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and online. It's our prayer in this Easter season that you would know and experience the presence of the living Jesus as we are gathered together. Have a few announcements here. Next Sunday, May the 17th, is Graduation Recognition Sunday. Join us as we celebrate the achievement of those in our community graduating from high school or college. We hope to see you next Sunday. Mark your calendar for Saturday, May the 30th at 4 o'clock for the annual church picnic at Oberholm Farm. Join us for food, fellowship, cornhole, and even swimming. For more information, see the weekly email or reach out to the church office. And well, the last thing is, join us in Holman Hall after the service for fellowship and refreshments. And now a word from Pastor Noah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Today, as we celebrate and remember the mothers and the people who have mothered us in our lives, we are also celebrating the ascension of our Lord. So today is Ascension Sunday. So this is, you'll see in our scripture reading, but this is the day when Jesus, after he is risen, he meets with the disciples, he gives his final instructions, and then he is taken up to be with God, to be seated at the right hand of our God in heaven. But contrary to what that might communicate, it is not that Jesus has gone away from us. It's not that Jesus is now away and we live in his absence. But the ascension of Jesus Christ actually makes it so that he is present everywhere where his people are. He ascended into heaven so that he could send his Spirit, so that whether we are gathered here, whether we are gathered across the globe, whether we're alone or with many others, Christ is in our midst. And so as we are gathered today for worship, we know that Jesus is just as present as I am or you are here today. He comes behind us, he goes before us, and it's in his name that we worship. As you leave today, I hope that you'll actually come out the front doors, because each of you will be getting your own Ascension Day card. Everyone, they're a little different. They all have a little bit of art on them from different artists depicting the Ascension and a little message inside. And this is to celebrate this day as the fuel for our ministry. Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. Please rise as we are called to worship. Alleluia, Christ the Lord has ascended into heaven.
Come, let us adore him. Alleluia.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
Same Lord of all who has gathered us to worship welcomes you and greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things, mercifully give us faith to perceive that according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth even to the end of the ages. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.
Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Let us confess our sin. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life, and crowned him Lord of all. We confess we have bowed before him, or acknowledge his role in our lives. If we've gone along with him for the ways of the world, and failed to give him glory, forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of his body, the church.
Amen. Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I would invite forward any of our young disciples or young in heart disciples.
Yes, he's much bigger now than when he was baptized. You want to come sit here? We're going to read this book. You brought a book, I brought a book. How about we read a book? Okay, our book is called Does God Go on Vacation? Does God? I know you've all wondered that. When you're packing your bags for a vacation stay, have you ever asked God if he takes holidays? Is there ever a time if you called on the phone that he wouldn't answer because he's not home? No. Here's a big truth that's important to know. God is all present. He's wherever you go. If you soared through the clouds till Earth looked like a dot and toured outer space like a brave astronaut, if you climbed up a peak to the very tip top or swam in the sea till your ears had to pop, if you hiked in the jungles where snakes and bugs roam, or dug deep in the dirt to find dinosaur bones, you'd never be able to go quite so far that God isn't present wherever you are. God's different from us. Yes, he fills up all space and isn't required to be in one place. In every country, all over the globe, God's there by his Spirit. We are never alone. So no need to worry. Now you know what's true. God is all present. He's always with you. The end. Connor, will you pray with me? Yes, you pray. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
That wherever we are, you are there.
You are there.
Be with us always.
Be with us always.
And help us.
To be with others.
In Jesus' name,
we pray.
Amen. Connor wanted to be with the others. Let's turn to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, our God, we remember that big truth that you are always with us. Wherever we go, we cannot go far from where you are. And we know this especially as we come to your word, through which you promise to be present. And so we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, as your word is read and proclaimed, that you would make yourself known among us so that we may follow you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning in the 44th verse. That's Luke 24, starting in verse 44. As you will remember, we are in a series called Can I Get a Witness? Where we are asking the question, what does it look like and what does it mean to be a witness to Jesus Christ? Over the past 3 weeks, we have focused on postures of witnessing. Witnessing in word and deed, and witnessing in our attitude. Now, about halfway through, we're pivoting to talk more about what's underneath our witness. What gives power to our witness? What is the promise that we receive in witnessing? And this morning, we ask the question, what is the message of our witness? we throw around the word as Christians, a gospel, good news, the Christian message. But what is that message? And how does it meet the needs of every person today? So with that in mind, let's turn to God's word. This is God's word, and it is given to you in love. Then Jesus said to them, that is the disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On the evening of October 30th, 1938, millions of Americans tuned into their radios and were met with a most distressing news bulletin. And this news bulletin caused such widespread panic that people were literally fleeing from their homes. Some went with faces covered by towels, others with children over their shoulders. It's even reported that one man broke his leg in the attempt. It was frenzied terror at the news that Martians were invading New Jersey. It wasn't until Orson Welles interrupted his program to assure people that they knew it was a fake, a Halloween special production of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. You see, most people had missed the introduction, and it sounded pretty real, so they thought it was real. Now, we might chuckle at people's gullibility or their ignorance in the age of the radio, the early age of the radio. But I think that this event speaks to a deeper longing in the human heart. It suggests that there is a desire in humanity for something greater, something outside of ourselves, to break into our world. They were so captured by this idea that Martians were coming to invade New Jersey, because there was a longing in their hearts that something outside of themselves would break in, interrupt their daily lives, the same old turnings, the status quo of the universe, and say to them, "Reality is not what you thought it was, and it can never be the same." Now, this longing has continued in humanity. It has caused us to dream up multiple alien interactions. It has moved us to pursue extreme experiences. I think of as skydiving as one of those. It's even caused us, you know, to do something as simple as binging the latest fantasy or sci-fi TV show, all in an attempt to try to get in touch with something that is beyond us, hoping that it will break in and change our lives. But this desire does not need to be consigned to the empty hope of fiction. Because, my friends, this is the central message of the Christian faith. This is the core of the message we proclaim, that a new reality has broken into the world, and nothing can ever be the same. That is, at the most basic level, what Jesus told his disciples as he was giving them his last instructions. The most important thing he wanted them to see and to proclaim was the reality that had come into the world because of him. Now, I say because of him for the exact same reason that the disciples were standing before Jesus with rapt attention. This man had been publicly executed. He was dead as dead can be. And yet, he is standing before them now. He's standing there as if nothing had ever happened. Or if this, maybe more accurately, as if this was just a common occurrence. The disciples, much like you or I, were under the impression that death was final, that the dead stay dead. And in fact, they, like us, were acquainted with death in its many and various forms in the world, sickness and pain and anguish, alienation, hatred, frailty, abandonment, evil, the list goes on. This is what the Bible calls capital D death, the power of death. And in first century Judea, the power of death showed itself particularly gruesome in Roman crucifixion. This form of death was often the last word on any who claimed to speak for God and for his reign on earth. But here before the disciples, the one they thought was dead, alive, Jesus, standing before them. Now, if they were around today, they might have said that in that moment they had entered the twilight zone, or maybe a parallel dimension, because a new reality must have come into existence for this man who was dead. And they knew death was final for this man who was dead to now be alive again. A new reality, something new must have taken place. And of course, they were right. You see, Jesus died in a reality where death reigned. Jesus died in the reality where death reigned. But he walked out of that tomb in God's new reality where death was no more. St. Paul writes this: Christ, being raised from death, will die no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the midst of a world dominated by death, God broke through in Christ with his reign of life. And for us, this new reality has radical consequences. First and foremost, it means the end of existence as we know it. Now, don't be scared by that. It is simply to say that a world dominated by death cannot coexist with a reality ruled by the God of life. It's like two rival kingdoms vying over land. And it was right smack dab in the middle of death's domain that Christ was raised. And God's new reality ignited. In doing so, in being raised from the dead, Christ emptied death of all its power, assuring God's final victory over the grave. That death would be no more. That death would not be the final word on this man or on humanity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the beginning of the end for our reality as we know it. And it was the start of God's everlasting reign. In this new reality that is coming into the world, the hungry are fed, the thirsty find drink, tears are wiped away, suffering and pain is no more. It is not a reality apart from our physical world, but it is our world renewed and recreated in the power of the resurrection. Existence as we know it is ended. See, all things are new. But this is not the only consequence of God's new reality. The other is probably the most pressing, the most urgent for us in our daily lives and for those around the world, and it's this: that with a new existence, Christ has afforded us a fresh start. Christ has afforded us a fresh start. Just as death has no place when Jesus stepped out of that tomb, so all of those things which keep us under the shadow of death, they're left behind. All the ways that we've messed up and fallen short, all the times that we've hurt one another and betrayed ourselves, all our guilt, all our shame, all of it released, left in that tomb, come to nothing. And in their place is a life lived in the love and grace of the living God. This is what Jesus meant by repentance and the forgiveness of sins, both of which are a work of God the Spirit in us, not because of anything that we can do, but because of God's great love for us. And this is nothing like the so-called fresh starts that we may have had in our own lives. This is not just a clean slate that we can then fill again with fresh brokenness. Instead, it is a life now held by God in Christ, so that our existence is always and totally new, without stain or blemish, full of grace and peace forever. Again, Paul writes, "So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." This fresh start is yours because of Christ crucified and risen. And now, as those claimed by Christ, we live in what is an in-between time. Between the already and the not yet. Between what has already been gained for us, new life, eternity, and the not yet, God's fullness, God's full reign to come. And in this world, death is still trying to make a stand. But like those final battles after a great war, death is defeated. In the eyes of eternity, its power petering out. And all creation waits for that day when it will be made new, when the wolf will lie with the lamb, when even an infant will play over a cobra's den with no fear. But as we wait, we are given to partake of God's new reality now, to live lives of forgiveness and grace walking more and more in the way of our Savior, proclaiming all that he has done for us. My friends, this is the good word needed for our world today. This is a good word to those who find themselves at the end of their rope with seemingly nowhere to go. For those who feel like the ground has opened up beneath them and they have fallen into a hole. For those who feel like they have little hope or little faith in what tomorrow can bring. This good word is for you. God's new reality has broken in. Your existence is not doomed to what you thought. Death is defeated. Christ is risen. A fresh start is yours. Life will never be the same. You are witnesses of these things. Amen. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God. Almighty and everlasting God, in Jesus Christ you have overcome death and the grave, establishing your new reality where you reign as the King of life forever. By your Holy Spirit, you give us a fresh start, free from the shadow of death which we once thought was our doom, alive, forever held in your grace and love. Grant that the whole of our lives, our families, jobs, recreation, our worship, our day-to-day, would all come under your righteous reign and would reflect your grace, mercy, and peace. As you have gathered us together here, attend now to our prayers which we lift up on behalf of the world you so love. Loving Father, you created all that is and preserve all your creatures according to your will. Look with mercy upon our brokenness, which too often leads to violence, hatred, and strife. Deliver us from the power of death and establish your peace in every land. Help us to be agents of your peace, working for justice and social righteousness in this community and beyond. We pray, O Lord, especially this day, remembering those who are sick, who find themselves in troubled waters as they await news of what is next. We pray for those who struggle this day because of complicated relationships, and for those who find themselves mourning today instead of rejoicing. Lord, look with favor upon all those and lift them up in your grace and love. We also pray this day for our schools, that as they come to the end of the year, they may finish strong, that festivities may commence, that learning may not finish but continue to the next step. We especially pray for the Hebron Day School as they're ending the year. We pray that they would finish strong. Help us to envision a future in which all children may find a place of safety and learning to grow in your love and grace. We thank you for the many years of the Hebron Day School and how that has accomplished this goal for this community. And may many successful years be to come. Lord Jesus, in ascending to God's right hand, you have made yourself present in all the world, filling all things. Go ahead of us, we pray, and lead us in mission and ministry. Come behind us, we pray, to support and equip us along the way. Abide with us, that we may know and love you, our Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. We pray especially this day that your prayer in the garden would come to fruition, that they may be one. We pray that the church may be united in every place in mission and ministry. Help us to seek those fresh expressions of unity, to push beyond those surface level differences, and to seek the common good, the common foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that it may empower our witness to the world. We remember particularly our brothers and sisters in the Church of Cuba. We pray that you would bless and sanctify their ministries, that you would help them to flourish, to raise up the next generation of faithful leaders, and to equip these Christians to be a light to the nation and to the world. Grant also, O God, that this church, which you have called Hebron, may be a reflection of your light and an embodiment of your kingdom here. Grant us wisdom and courage to go beyond what we may think is comfortable and to pursue what is faithful. And make yourself known among us. Fill us with your Spirit, so that we may be a community of Christ, reconciled and redeemed, loving each other and loving you. Spirit of comfort, Spirit of power, make yourself known in the presence of healing, in stories of restoration, and especially in the moments when we feel all is lost. that your strength and consolation would be our stay. Meet those this day who find themselves at the end of their rope and fill them with your peace. Especially, we name before you those people and situations that weigh on our hearts. O blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we entrust these our prayers to you with all the cares of our hearts, knowing that you work all things for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We bring before God our life and our labors as tokens of our gratitude and praise. If you're worshiping with us today for the first time, or maybe you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, I invite you to take the connect card that is in the pew front in front of you and fill that out. We'd love to connect with you more and pray for you. Even if it is an anonymous prayer, we'd love to pray for you. And you can put that in the plate as it is passed. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our gracious God, we give you thanks for these, your gifts, which are a token of all that you have given us. Bless these gifts, that we may use them wisely, sanctify them for the use of your kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel, and for the new life made possible in Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen. From this place in the hope and promise that God's new reality has broken in. Death is defeated. Christ is risen. A new start is yours in him. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.